On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
I'm letting that music play. I know they want me to talk.
I like it.
I know they want me to talk.
Yeah, don't talk over this.
Yeah. What up, everybody?
Yeah,
I like that song, man.
That is the kind of what up everybody we want.
That song, yesterday was a sad day.
I know, but
it wasn't the right situation.
Feels like football time.
It's May. It feels like football time?
Yeah, hell yeah, it does.
How?
We got a full team out there just about.
We're not even out there. We're here.
They're out there. We saw them yesterday.
It's always football time in Mitch's heart.
You better
believe
it.
Redskins Talk Podcast. You're watching us on the My Teams app. Mitch Tischler, Pete Haley, JP Finley. This is Redskins Talk. We are brought to you by the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Hope you do the same thing. We still have to clean up the news from yesterday. We saw Reuben Foster go down in a pile. It was a sad scene. The reports have since come out. Some of it I was able to report. Some of it came from other folks across our great country. Reuben Foster, the Redskins believe, has torn the ACL in his left knee. There is also serious concern that there are other complications in that leg. Folks told me it could be an artery issue. I've heard from others that they're going to see specialists to try to figure out the best plan of action going forward for Reuben. I think it's very easy to say 2019 is out of the question. We can do a quick react now that we've had 24 hours with the news to kind of see how all of it unfolded, and we need to, the conversation now turns to what happens next, but we don't want to move too hasty in that direction.
When you brought up the potential artery damage, it immediately made me think of Zach Miller from the Bears. He dislocated his knee, and they had to do emergency surgery to quote-unquote save the leg. I think Teddy Bridgewater had something kind of similar. So when you bring up ACL, obviously it's a major injury, but when you start talking about things further like artery damage, whatnot, you're nervous for long-term health.
Yeah, I'm still pretty devastated by it, and I still think it really, really harms the Redskins. But after you kind of get past the initial shock, it's important to kind of zoom out and see, okay, is this really the end of the world for the Redskins? And I think you can kind of build the case that, yes, this is a very bad injury, and it's very tough for them
you
to deal with.
You feel personally devastated by this news?
I mean, I don't personally feel devastated, but I'm just seeing how Gruden reacted and how his teammates reacted. It's just a crappy way to start the OTAs.
Especially on a team that has dealt with all these injuries for so long.
How often do we hear Gruden talk about his emotions?
Yeah, you know? Right. And I think the folks that got to know Reuben Foster inside the building, they all loved him. And even when we talked to Matt Maiocco, who covered him with the Niners, this is a guy that's extremely charismatic, that gets you to believe in him. I think if you look at what's happened to him in the NFL, obviously everybody points to the two domestic violence arrests. Both of those were cleared. But legally, nothing happened in either of those situations. This is a guy that also had a gun arrest and a weed arrest, had an NFL suspension, was thrown out of the NFL combine, which never happens. So even if you separate the domestic violence from all the other nonsense that occurred in his NFL career, there are plenty of reasons for a team to be like, to hell with this guy. This isn't worth it. And yet, the Niners stuck with him through one domestic violence arrest and all of the other stuff, and then the Redskins moved right in. Clearly, this guy has something intoxicating in his personality that makes you want to bring him into your team, into your organization. And I think you saw the tweets yesterday of players being upset. We talked to a number of players. Jay Gruden's comments. I've never seen Bruce Allen run in my life. And Bruce Allen chased that cart up the hill. Yeah. It is remarkable. And I do think for the Skins, it's sad news. And we could tell just sitting there yesterday how everybody, I mean, think about nobody, practice stopped for 5 minutes, and it's not supposed to happen. Rarely does that happen. Players know when something's serious, and I think you could tell that yesterday.
The director of the Senior Bowl tweeted, the Reese's Senior Bowl, which brings all those guys in, tweeted that he thought that Ruben was the best football player in that draft, and that he's crushed for him about, you know, he seemed like a guy who obviously had a bright future on the football field.
The Niners, the Niners were considering taking him with the third overall pick.
Right. The Redskins were considering him as well.
Right. I mean, at 17,
he was,
right.
Yeah, he was a guy that
the there were teams that loved him, and there were teams that were scared off by the character stuff. Here we are, three years later, yeah. And injuries have been a concern. That's the other part of this.
Right. Not yeah. really. It's not
injuries
like
been have
totally
been a factor.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he was on IR. Like, this is a guy that it really hasn't worked out for. And, right. and clearly, a lot of it's his own fault. But injuries, let's do this before we go any further, because I want to kind of move on, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's May. Let's just move on. Where are you guys at on the karma conversation? Because for me, that's a very slippery slope. You start talking about karma for a football player getting hurt in a non-contact situation. If you're going to apply karma like that, like how do kids ever get cancer? Like how can bad things happen in the world if karma is this life-altering force that's always available? I don't want to dismiss anybody that says that because there's good reason and logic to it, but to me it just sounds very convenient and a little bit trite.
Yeah, I can't speak to the charisma of Ruben Foster. We never really got a chance to interact with him, but you know, I'm someone who believes in second chances, and this was a guy who's getting a fresh start in a new city. And it's
but also like a fifth chance.
Yeah,
fifth chance, whatever.
A few second chances,
it was another opportunity in an environment surrounded by people who are trying to support him, and on the first play of this supposed new journey, it has a huge setback. And it, you know, again, I don't know what kind of guy he is, but I still have to sit back and feel bad for him on a human level of that nature.
I'm out on the karma train. I don't think it's a convenient word idea that gets thrown around sometimes. Especially when we're talking about NFL football players. I mean, there's karma in the world potentially, but as far as a guy getting injured on the football field,
LT had a 15-year Hall of Fame career. He's probably the best defensive football player of all time. And by all accounts, he wasn't a very good dude.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. It's just a weird way to try to apply that sort of logic.
O.J. Simpson, great football player.
There you go. I think that's a hell of an example.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move
on. Moving right on.
I hadn't thought of the OJ example, but moving right along.
Do you want to talk about like my finances or something to kind of freshen up the
Should we talk about the T-shirt blazer look?
Sure, we can.
So, what do we think?
So yesterday, Pete was jazzed up about blazers on set.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, back to blazers tomorrow,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, dude, back to blazers. Like, we're on the set. Let's try to look good. So our dear friend and colleague, Julie Donaldson, told you a few weeks ago she liked that look on you. You should do it more often.
Yeah.
Now, I said, it looks cool. It's a very Miami Vice look.
Right.
Do you understand that reference at all?
I know that was it a show or a movie or both?
It was a show for a long time. That's not cringeworthy.
Yeah.
It was a show.
It's kind of cringeworthy.
It was a very famous show for
yes.
a long
okay.
time.
Yeah.
And then it became a movie with like Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
But the look is Don Johnson. Do you know who Don Johnson is? Okay. He was in Tin Cup.
I've heard of Don Johnson.
You, sir, are no Don Johnson.
Yeah, I'm just wearing
no,
this.
No, certainly not.
Because, yeah, Julie said it looked nice, so I wanted to experiment, and I figured a Tuesday show when we're not at the park, this feels kind of like a recap
so Pete
show in
is
studio.
Now diminishing which hierarchy of
the
shows.
The ones
no.
at the park, the ones at the...
Clearly,
this
clearly.
This is the offseason. You experiment with things.
Now, Mitch is all in on football, man.
Yeah, yeah. We are at football.
Mitch can feel football
you
in his loins.
At different watches. But I think it's the offseason.
Loins.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about your loins either. It's just a time to experiment with the look. I know how I look with the button-up shirt, so I want to try with the shirt underneath, and I like it.
It's a cool. good summer look.
Yeah,
it's a good summer
exactly.
look.
Exactly. It's a seasonal
look. So this
look.
Was Don Johnson, dude. Like, he'd wear a suit and a T-shirt.
That is so
right,
baller.
Time.
I now feel
but
way better
get,
about this.
Yo, you got to get, what was his name? Tubbs? Crockett and Tubbs, right? You got to start dressing like Tubbs, man.
Give me a skinny tie. I'm ready to go. Let's go.
You already got the top button done.
I got the top button going.
All right. These are the notes. Can we zoom in on this?
Yeah, we need.
These are the notes AJ gave me to prepare for
that's
this.
That's a tiny note card, and it doesn't even take up half the note card.
It's the Mark Sanchez playbook.
Here's the thing. Like, it is the offseason, clearly, because this is what we had to talk about right here. So we can go long on Pete's shirt and tie. Shirt
Let's circle back to it. We can grade it.
How's that watch working out for you, by the way?
Really good. I have three different wristbands, so I went with this one because it matches my pants.
All right. They want me to hold the notes up again. There's five things written on here.
Right.
Five. I don't know what camera you want to look at.
Did AJ write them or did you?
How many words?
AJ wrote them.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're kind of legible.
There we go. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, there
we are.
There are
10 words on that
note
card for an hour-long show.
Wait, isn't that what's supposed to be
hidden? That handwriting is terrible. He spelled Gruden wrong and had to write over it. He's running out of room.
You spelled Gruden wrong, you mutt? Are you kidding me?
Spelling is really, really bad.
By the way, we couldn't have an AJ note with it if it didn't include Darius Geis.
Yeah, of course not. Of course. Surprised we're not talking Byron Marshall today.
So here's why I pressed you a little bit when you said you were devastated by the Reuben Foster news, is because when we were in the newsroom getting ready for this epic Emmy Award-winning stream show, you said, when are we going to explain that it's not that big of a deal? So are you devastated, or is it not that big of a deal?
So I was devastated for the players and the coaches and for Reuben, and I also am somewhat devastated because I think it makes this defense a little bit worse, and it hampers them a bit going into next season. But I'm also zooming out and thinking, okay, you have Mason Foster and Sean Dean Hamilton now at linebacker. Who were your linebackers to end the season last year? Reuben was going to be an added bonus. He was going to raise the ceiling of this, but your defense isn't changing. It's not like you're losing Josh Norman, who you had last year, or Jonathan Allen, who you had last year. You've seen your defense without Reuben Foster. It was a new player coming in and maybe changing how you were going to play, but it's not like you're losing a piece you already had. Reuben was a new addition. So that's kind of what I'm trying to think.
It definitely hurts the ceiling, and we talked about this.
Yeah.
It definitely hurts the ceiling of this defense, but I think it impacts the floor too, because they also had Zach Brown last year, and they don't now. And I recognize he wasn't playing all that much and certainly had lost his starting job, but he gave them an option of speed at linebacker, an option of an elite athlete at linebacker that they don't have. Cole Holcomb has speed, but has not shown
we don't know
to
what
be that
getting
type
out
of player.
Him,
I guess what I'm saying
and
is...
And I think I don't think we should overestimate what Reuben Foster might have been, because we really don't know. And frankly, in San Francisco in 2018, he wasn't a very dynamic player.
He had a good season and a bad season.
He had a good season of rookie in 10 games and a bad season in his second year in 6 games with multiple suspensions. So I don't think they ever should have counted on him, but he would have made them better on the field.
I also think the fact that they didn't go into the season expecting a ton, getting rid of guys who like Mason Foster, we talked about a little bit yesterday, and guys like that, you're able to plug a guy in who knows the defense and obviously can step right in and do what he did last year.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I'm looking at Reuben Foster. We were talking about when does he earn the trust, when you start really looking at him as a defender on this team, and I had really not even envisioned him as a person on the defense yet because I was worried about an injury or suspensions or further trouble. So I wasn't even going to consider Reuben Foster as an integral part of the defense until week one. So, I mean, yes, it's terrible. Yes, I'm sad it happened. And yes, it hurts the team. But I'm not, you know, going to really, really overreact and say, man, this whole season is now tanked.
Certainly. And I think
certainly of course
nobody should be saying that.
Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully no one is. I think the post-June 1 cut market becomes a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see if linebackers are out there. And you need inside linebackers. You know, folks kind of look at linebacker as a –
blanket position.
Yeah, but guys on the outside and guys like Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah, especially on the Redskins.
Step in
Ryan Kerrigan and Mason Foster are incredibly different players.
Yes.
And they're both listed as a linebacker, but you have pass rush guys and guys that can run and cover.
Here's something I just came up with in my functioning big brain of mine.
I am so scared for this.
Ryan Anderson, maybe slide him inside and maybe get a look there, perhaps? Any chance? Maybe?
He's a little bit bigger body, certainly, but I think that's in this short period of time, that's going to be a lot to ask a guy to move total positions.
Yeah,
I don't think he has anywhere close to the speed to cover or get sideline to sideline.
Okay.
To me, I think we talked about this during roster time when we were doing our 53-man roster projections, I thought it made more sense to try to bulk up Anderson and move him into a defensive line spot. What we saw this organization try to do with Trent Murphy 4 years back, and Trent Murphy had bulked up and moved in, and then Junior Galette got hurt, and Trent Murphy had to lose the weight and move back out. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Snip, snap.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that would have made more sense. I think that would have made more sense for Ryan Anderson than moving him outside.
It also opened up moving Ryan Anderson immediately to the inside, or if they would have done it in the offseason. You still have an opening on the outside. Obviously, we think that Montez Sweat is going to be able to fill that. He looks all the part, but until we see it, you can't.
And they got nothing on the outside. They have Kerrigan, Sweat, Anderson, and after that,
it's
Casanova, McKenzie.
Right. You're getting
Brailford.
A lot lower.
Okay. But creative idea. We're looking all over for.
But here's the thing. I thought before the Reuben Foster injury that pass rusher was a spot they'd have to look for a veteran in the free agent market. I still think that's possible, similar to what we saw with Pernell McPhee last year.
Mm-hmm. So you think they should have kept Preston? Should they have ponied up for that money?
It's an entirely different
I'm just saying,
situation.
No, but if you're talking about moving Ryan Anderson inside, was that a situation where you spend money on him? You spend the money on Preston?
I don't know how one corresponds to the other.
Well, you need help on the outside as a pass rush, right? Which
I don't think they wanted to spend the money Preston got on Preston.
Agreed. I'm saying, but do you think they should have?
No.
Okay. Move on.
I'm not sure they shouldn't have spent some money elsewhere, but I think Preston could still go on and have a really good career, but I don't know that this fit and Preston Smith were working together. I think this coaching staff had seen enough of Preston Smith maybe not pushing it all the way all the time, and it's one of those fresh start situations might be best for everybody. That doesn't mean that going into a season there's got to be some middle ground between paying up for Preston Smith and going into a season with Kerrigan, Sweat, Ryan Anderson,
and it could have been Kerrigan and Anderson if they didn't get lucky with Sweat. It could have been even worse. They just happened to trade up and get Montez.
I don't know if they got lucky. I think they went and got.
They attacked success.
I think we all knew pass rusher was a need.
Right, but I don't know if they knew he was going to be there at 26 and they were going to be able to trade up.
But it doesn't mean they wouldn't have gotten somebody in the second round.
Right, if you get someone in the second round, you still have a potential starter right there, especially
if you think about it, their second round pick was 12 picks after, 10 picks after where they got him. I'm not a math guy, but it's a rough estimate.
We know. We know.
What do you think is the most said phrase on our podcast? I'm not a math guy.
54-man roster.
That's a good one too.
That's definitely up there.
I think I'm not a math guy has been up there more than any Redskins talk cliche.
We need Jackson Didelake to
come through.
Right. We gave it kind of a passing notice yesterday, but a number of our contemporaries, Al Galdi, Chris Russell, if I'm forgetting anybody, Kevin Sheehan, I think, said something pretty strong. Monte Nicholson missing OTAs, not a smart move. This is a guy that got cleared legally, and I believe we have the Jay Gruden sound. Let's dig into what the coach said. Let's hear what he has to say first.
You know what? I'm not really surprised about, Monte's, Josh, Monte, Trent. It's voluntary. Coaches are put in a unique situation here where you want everybody to be here, but it's voluntary based on a CBA. So there's really no reaction that we can have other than coach the guys that are here the best way we can and get them ready. We told them today, this is for your benefit, not ours. We're trying to get you better. But some players who choose not to be here, that's their own choice. And they feel like they're getting better with their own trainers in their own way, which is understandable. So we just coach the guys that are here. I think that's another thing. We just have to wait and see what happens with the league. All I know is they were dropped, and hopefully Monte will be a part of this team.
It is certainly the player's option to miss OTAs, and the CBA supports it. I'm not judging any player that doesn't show up. All I can do is say if I think it's a smart business decision, and I don't think it's a smart business decision for Monte Nicholson not to be there.
Josh, Monte, Trent. Right. One of these things doesn't fit.
Who doesn't fit in that career?
And it's a guy that needs to prove to the organization that he's all the way committed mentally. And I think if you look at the trade for HaHa Clinton Dix last year, a lot of that was because they just didn't know they could count on Monte. And some of that was injuries, especially concussion as a rookie. But some of it was, are you there? Or are you all the way dialed in and a part of this team? And then missing OTAs. If you watch and listen to Jay Gruden talk enough, you start to pick up on things that actually bother him.
When he starts mincing his words and getting lost in it a little bit, that he doesn't feel great about it.
Not to mention, they're breaking in a new D-backs coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Monte's been around. We're only seeing a snippet of OTAs.
We saw one day of OTAs.
There's already been two phases, right? There's already been weeks of this, and there's going to be more days that we're not there. But
they're two different players at different stages, but Landon Collins, who is rehabbing from his shoulder injury and who has accomplished far more than Monte Nicholson, was at Redskins OTAs on the sidelines with a note card in hand, talking to every rookie about hand placement. Meanwhile, the guy who just got let off of charges and should be trying to fight for a starting spot and who is younger and less proven than Landon Collins was nowhere to be found. It's a stark contrast.
We talked about it yesterday, and it is a voluntary workout. But it's not voluntary for the guys that are trying to make the team.
Sure.
And are trying to get a starting job.
Voluntary.
Right. Nothing's really voluntary. But if you're Trent Williams and you're Josh Norman or you're one of the major guys who have been here and are entrenched in the organization, you can miss it.
I don't even know that Trent and Josh Norman are on the same page at this point.
No, Trent is in a stratosphere on his own. But Josh is a starter, day one starter.
Are we sure?
Yes.
So Josh Norman does not get released June 1st.
I don't
Josh Norman
so.
Is the week one starter. 1 to 100. We'll give you plenty of wiggle room on this. 100 being the sureness he's starting scale? In Philadelphia, barring injury. We're knocking injury out of this thing. Josh Norman is the week one starter in Philadelphia. Mitchell.
90. He's the starter, I think. I believe he's the starter. I don't think they're cutting him post June 1.
Okay.
Jimmy Moreland is playing well, and I think he's going to prove a lot. But I also think they're not going to throw a rookie out there to start week one.
I wouldn't expect Moreland to be the starter if Norman's gone, so we're clear.
I would say 80% just because I keep coming back to, if you get rid of Josh Norman, who the hell are you going to start behind him?
There we go.
I get that there's a lot of financial issues, and I get he's not playing up to the big contract, but I still think he's giving you enough, and when you compare what you have behind him to what he gives you, it's a massive drop-off. I don't want Quentin Dunbar and Fabian Moreau and then Greg Stroman to be the top three corners. That just is a big drop-off in quality. And yes, maybe you can sign a guy or, you know, pick up some other free agent. I think Josh Norman's still your best option for at least this year.
I'm going lower than both of you.
Of course.
And you've been saying.
Of course.
You've been saying.
I'm usually in between.
You're usually in between. There.
And you've been saying, right, at least all offseason, yeah, but you think there's still better chance than us?
Just the things you hear and kind of the context you try to grab from situations. I'm not going much lower, but I'll go 75.
Yeah.
That's still a three-quarters chance it's happening. Yeah.
So you said that you didn't think Jimmy Moreland would be the guy that steps in. You're saying it would be Fabian Moreau?
No, I think a lot of it
could
be.
Are we going CBX?
No, we're not. DRC. If they actually think DRC can make it and can play, I'm just telling you, they need a veteran, obviously. If they believe, they love Quentin Dunbar, and he was playing very well. If he's really running all the way, like they say he is, that we haven't seen, but multiple people now, including Jay Gruden, are saying Quentin Dunbar's back running full speed. If Dunny's back at full speed, and they like Fabian Moreau on the outside. If you noticed yesterday, Fabian Moreau was on the outside. He wasn't lined up in that slot. I think Jimmy Moreland does project to be a slot guy. I don't know. Jay Gruden very clearly joked about his lack of size, and that physicality could prove a problem for him. Pete did the bad impression.
Yep. Confirmed.
I am not putting Moreland up there, but if you go Dunbar, Moreau, they believe Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie can actually do this, then you've got some. You've got a very legitimate veteran in DRC, a guy who's been in the league 12, 13 years.
A dude who just retired, hasn't exactly played very well.
And he was playing, he made the Pro Bowl in 15.
Yeah, but we talk all the time about Pro Bowl stuff.
That's last time Josh Norman made the Pro Bowl.
That could have been a lot of players leaving before him. I don't know the circumstances of DRC.
No, it was him and Collins killed it. I wouldn't sleep on the Landon Collins DRC situation.
That was also
watching
4 years
them yesterday.
Ago.
It was 2 years ago.
If they you cut said him, 2015
was 2019. The Pro Bowl year, but in 2017 they were all still playing in New York.
I know, but that's when they were most effective. DRC.
If they cut Josh post June 1, do they save money in the future or just in 2019?
Both. You know,
There's guaranteed money in 2020.
It doesn't matter that it's not guaranteed. He's on the books for 2020.
Right, so they can still cut him. I'm saying if they keep him for 2019 and then cut him in 2020, are they saving money?
They save money now or they save money then?
My point
they
being
save less money then.
You cut him post June 1?
You cut him post June 1. You save $8.5 million this year and then you don't pay him next year.
Can you just not pay him next year?
Yeah, but then you are paying him this year.
Yeah.
Right, but what are you saving that $8.5 million for?
I don't know.
I'm getting somebody.
You guys continue to sleep on that salary cap space rolls over, and you get more space if you have more space going into the following year.
I get that you like Dunbar and you like Moreau, but wouldn't you rather have the
safety
blanket?
Here's the crazy part. I'm saying there's a three-quarter chance this does not happen.
I'm just addressing people out there who are saying there's more of a chance that he's gone. You want Fabian Moreau to develop? Sure, but wouldn't you rather have Josh Norman there as your number one corner, and then you see if Moreau's ready to go before you just cut Norman and have no safety blanket? Because what if Moreau's not ready to step up? Quentin Dunbar's great. He's one of the best stories on the team.
We don't know if Quinn's healthy.
I don't want him to be the number one corner right now. I don't trust him to lock down Amari Cooper.
Do you trust Norman too?
I trust Norman more than I do, or I trust the combination of them. I don't want to just put all my eggs in the Dunbar-Moreau basket and just say bye to Josh Norman just because he hasn't had the Carolina Panthers-type production that he's wanted to when he came to D.C.
Our dear friend Aaron Oster, everybody knows Oster, just texted me, hey, Pete, can you come on the daily line for a few minutes at 4:10 to talk about Foster?
Why'd he text you?
Hey, Pete. Oh, boy.
God, no text.
Oh, so you got the wrong number, dude.
Maybe he just wants to talk about
you're
my
losing
jacket.
Daily line hits to Pete.
He may have asked me, and I was like, hey, ask Pete. I can't do it.
That's nice of you.
You guys are crazy that I'm saying three quarters.
I know. You're just representing the people who think they should get rid of Norman.
Here's what I can tell you. People around the league, and it's mostly ex-players, and sometimes I wonder if it's ex-players because they don't agree with the amount of money Norman is making, and I think that plays a big role in it. And I agree that if you cut Norman, what do you have out there? But there are plenty of organizations that go with the operation of our guys are good, next man up. How often do we hear next man up from these coaches? I think there are some guys that are willing to roll those dice. And if we talked about this with Smoot the other day, that Norman has not been a leader for the team, Norman has not been a leader in that DB room. Swearinger's gone. Landon Collins is going to fill that leadership vacancy. Maybe they just want to let this thing really settle in as Landon's team.
I mean, if you get rid of DJ and then you get rid of Josh, you're really resetting the DB room. The leadership, I guess the new coach, new leadership in there.
Dude, you've already kind of done all that.
Right.
You got a new secondary coach. You've got a new safety that looks like he will probably be the team defensive captain.
Right.
Maybe it's John Allen. We'll see who wins that vote. But in a way, maybe they've already reset it, and we're just not realizing it.
I think they did the whole let's see what our guys can do bit last year in the secondary, and they ended up having to play Greg Stroman and Danny Johnson quite a bit. We kind of talked about it in training camp. We're like, this
Norman
team,
is the most durable of these guys, for sure.
I think the line you used was, are they confident or arrogant in their secondary? And last year, after reflecting on it, we decided that they're arrogant to go in with that much of a youth movement on the depth chart. I just really don't think you can get rid of Norman now.
Let's also not forget how many turnovers Josh Norman created last year.
Yeah.
Norman's missed two games in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And last year he created seven
turnovers.
He punched
out seven balls?
No.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Three picks, three forced fumbles, one fumble recovery.
Okay. Nice math.
Yeah.
You got through that really well.
Oh, by the way, Jackson responded and said easily the "What up, everybody" is the most said thing on the podcast. I've said that on every podcast.
Yeah. Right. And I owe you a beer. And also, you guys are just constantly checking your phones during the show. Meanwhile, I'm the millennial who hasn't been looking at my phone at all.
It's because you didn't feel like bringing your 50-pound laptop over here.
Yeah, it's too...
I brought my 50-pound laptop.
You just showed us a picture of your girlfriend.
That was during a break. You guys are just texting.
We haven't gone on break at all.
VO, whatever TV terminology
As long as TVP is breaking out TV terms, we're in good shape here.
Yeah, I'm talent. Come on.
Miami talent. All right.
Well, when the Redskins go to Miami this year, that better be the outfit.
I'm gonna get like a white. Yeah,
get
definitely.
A white blazer.
I'll recreate Don Johnson.
White blazer.
White, and like pastel blue.
There you go.
Cool. I'll maybe even smoke a cigar.
We want more pastel. Don't do that.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not good for you.
Yeah.
Did you? You
not
didn't
say
know
smart or sensible.
You didn't know how to smoke a cigar.
Yeah, it didn't go well. Was
couldn't open a bottle of wine.
Couldn't open a bottle of wine.
Was a mess.
Had no idea what to do with the cutter.
No, that was a disaster way around.
I was like, where's the app for this?
We have that video of him trying to open the bottle of wine?
Yeah, it's in the annals somewhere.
That was fantastic.
I mean, I really wanted it to be a twist off as he was like struggling with it, but the cork was just way
over. My palm started getting sweaty and I started getting anxious as usual.
You had no idea how
to do it. I would have been there for hours.
Yeah, we would have been there forever.
I would have been there for hours.
That was Tampa? Yeah.
All right.
Don't go full Tampa.
A little bit of real news. Got to catch up with Brandon Scherff yesterday. Obviously, a contract extension with the Redskins' right guard is now at the top of their list of needs as far as what they need to get done. We're all still expecting it to get done.
They better not let it turn into an Anthony Rendon situation where they miss the boat.
Mitch taking shots at the Nats.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to get done.
AJ, if we have the sound, let's run that. We'll react coming back.
How'd it feel to be back out there?
Really good. You know, this is my dream come true, and just trying to push through the injury and just move forward.
How are you feeling with your injury?
Feeling really good. They're just kind of taking it slow and just making sure I'm 100% right before I go.
Any progress with contract talks you going into your last year?
Yeah, we've been talking, but I'm not really worried about that. I'm here for another year, so that's all I'm worried about right now. Everything will take care of itself.
How hard is it to see a guy like Reuben Foster go down like that?
It's very hard. You know, he's a great player. He's going to be a really good player for us, but, you know, just best wishes to him.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
The
look
back and forth. It was like watching a tennis tournament. Just volley serve, return.
It was weird tennis at the net. They're just going.
Sheriff's not the biggest talker. So
you did well.
When I was like, Brandon, you got 2 seconds, and he's like, yes, 2 seconds.
He gave you like seven.
Right. Yeah. And
also one of the best parts about OTAs and minicamps is that they make them run sprints right before they talk to the media.
Out of breath.
Guys are just out of breath and have no interest in
doing it. Then they go and take a knee and do like a huddle.
I mean, it's not a long.
I don't think
break.
He was out of breath there. Do you?
He was a little out of breath. Yes.
It's a big man running a lot of sprints.
When was your last sprint? When was the last time? I'm trying to think of the last time I sprinted before I throw a stone at Mitch's house.
Someone's going to come back and hit you right in the face.
Are we talking about voluntarily sprinting?
What, have you been running from the police? When was your last sprint?
Involuntary.
More recent than you would have thought.
Let's hear it.
What? I don't even know.
The last time I sprinted was like probably like playing basketball. Or honestly, it's kind
of. When's the last time you played basketball?
Playing tennis.
What's the last time you played tennis?
I played tennis last summer.
Last weekend. 2 weekends ago.
You played tennis 2 weekends ago? Yeah. What? Where?
Where's our invite?
Over Mother's Day, we went to the indoor. We went to an indoor bubble, and my brother's 6 years younger than me. We played some
doubles or singles.
We had 2 courts, and there were 5 of us.
What's
so we
your tennis game like?
Yeah, you ground strokes? You like to attack the net?
Big serve. Not a lot of
big
backhand.
Big serve.
Big serve. Decent forehand. Terrible backhand. Short points.
I am. My serve is super lame. I just focus on keeping it in bounds, I can cover a lot of ground.
Keep it in bounds. I'm sure that's the term for it.
Keeping it in play?
Yeah, in play, in court. Yeah, not in bounds.
In court is not a thing.
I know. Definitely not in bounds.
Wait, what's your tennis game look like? Do you play tennis?
Yeah. It's a kind of a weak serve.
AJ wants us to stop talking about tennis.
And just attack the net and try and use my athleticism as a force at the net.
I just run around. I am like AJ on the tennis court. I'm working very hard, just not very efficient.
This would be very funny, though, because you guys both want to play long points, and I would just...
That's
just trying to get over it as quick as possible.
I'll play some tennis. Has AJ ever played tennis? Because I bet he's just as bad as he is at golf.
Right. Would he break 120 in tennis?
AJ's reply, I'm silly at Mario Tennis.
That's the second Wii Tennis reference we've had now.
We have real information to share when we come back. J.I. Halsell, a former agent, he was texting with me yesterday during the show, so I said, hey, can you come on today? We're going to talk Reuben Foster's contract. What would Brandon Scherff's contract extension look like? Because it's going to be a lot of cheddar to get that deal done. And then I want to ask him about the Josh Norman conversation we're having. Yeah. As soon as we come back from this, we're going to talk to J.I. and maybe some more tennis talk.
Hopefully.
I'm the best ping pong player.
False.
True. No, that's false.
You're better than me.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
All right, we're back, and it's time to bring on our good friend, Arizona Bureau Chief. He needs a better title because he's like a contract expert.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We'll have to ask him what kind of title he wants. J.I. Halsell, how are you, sir?
He's our CMO.
I'm doing well.
CFO.
How are you guys? CFO.
You're the new Chief Financial Officer of the Redskins Talk Podcast.
That fits.
Congratulations.
I actually liked Arizona Bureau Chief.
Well, you're back to Arizona Bureau Chief.
You've been demoted.
We're able to make switches like that fast here. We're very nimble.
We hadn't even made the nameplate yet. You're lucky.
Well, dude, thank you for coming on. We were texting back and forth yesterday about the Reuben Foster stuff. So if you can, break it down very simply, because whenever we use the word toll, we tend to get confused.
Yeah.
So Reuben Foster's out for the 2019 season. What does that mean on the salary cap and contractually for the Redskins?
Yeah, when a contract tolls, that means basically the pause button is pushed and whatever you were supposed to make in 2019 carries over to 2020. That's not the case with Reuben Foster. Reuben Foster, for as long as he will be on the Redskins roster, which you can't cut an injured player, will earn his $1.29 million salary regardless if he plays this season or not. So while he'll probably spend his entire season on injured reserve, he will make $1.29 million here in 2019, and then he'll make whatever he's supposed to make in 2020, just like his contract states.
So no relief in sight. And am I wrong? I think because they didn't have to pay the signing bonus for Reuben, and now they've probably paid, he's making 1.3 this year roughly, so whatever they had to pay out to finish the 2018 season, another $500,000, I'm guessing. They've got him for less than $2 million now. I don't. I this is where I'm going with this in a long-winded route. They're going to have to decide if they're going to exercise the fifth-year option next year before the draft on Reuben Foster. I don't expect them to do that right now, especially with the unknown severity of the leg injury. What do you think they would do? And I believe he was the 31st overall pick in 2017. What would that fifth-year option cost them?
Yeah, so the fifth-year option for the 2021 season will be pretty expensive. I mean, it depends upon kind of how much the salary cap increases in 2020 will help determine that value. But the long and short of it is that it's going to be a lucrative dollar amount. And given his injury history, his current injury, you would think that when they had to make that decision by the 2020 draft on his fifth-year option, that they will decline that option. But if he comes back healthy off of this ACL, he proves that he's a quality starter in 2020, that then theoretically, even though you don't have the fifth-year option for 2021, you could then work on a contract extension for Reuben Foster, assuming he comes back to health.
So the other way, if it's a significant enough injury that you're not confident, is there any reason or anything that they can do in terms of cutting out with an injury settlement?
Well, because
is there any benefit to doing something?
I mean, you could do an injury settlement, but the injury settlement dollar amount will be determined based upon when a doctor thinks he can come back to health. And so if this is a 9-month injury, then that's going to take you through the entire season. So even an injury settlement does not save you any cash or cap, provide you any cash or cap relief.
Let me ask you this, and that's just because they don't have to pick up the fifth-year option. They'd have to pay off the fourth year, so why do an injury settlement, right? Is that kind of the crux of that?
Correct.
Okay.
Finally, got one right. Let me ask you this.
And crux, too.
Yeah, I used C-R-U-X. I got this on Twitter. This is from @Semakasa. How does insurance work in this situation? Would the Skins have had insurance on Reuben Foster? I'm guessing no, because they didn't draft him and they didn't sign him as a free agent.
That is correct. So when they claimed the contract from the 49ers, they literally took the Niners contract language and acquired it. And in the vast majority of rookie draft pick contracts, you don't see that insurance. The only contracts that really you see an insurance policy attached to it are quarterback contracts. So that goes back to our Alex
Smith
conversation.
Big money contracts, right?
What's that?
Big money contracts.
Big money contracts, which given the rookie compensation system, this is not a big money contract. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there are no insurance remedies in this situation.
Yeah, JP has big money contracts, so he's very familiar with that.
Lots of NBC insurance on that deal.
We don't want him to hurt his ankle.
I have like car insurance. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, exactly. Jay, I want to move on to a player who's coming back from a significant injury, and that's Brandon Scherff. We're kind of wondering if or when this deal will get done with him, the Redskins extending him. What would a Brandon Scherff extension look like? What kind of money, what kind of average value would that be for the Redskins to get it done?
Zach Martin is currently, from a new money average per year standpoint, top of the market at $14 million per year. I would say that Brandon Scherff surpasses that because even when you adjust Zach Martin's deal for the increase in the salary cap, it actually ends up being like a $15 million per year deal. So if you take Brandon Scherff and say, look, we're going to make you the highest paid guard in football at 14 and a half. Then Brandon Scherff can hang his hat on being the highest paid guard in football. But the Redskins can hang their hat on the fact that, well, when you adjust Zach Martin for the increase in the salary cap, Brandon actually could have made an argument to be at like 15. So I think that a Brandon Scherff deal looks like probably $45 million guaranteed, $14.5 million average per year, 5-year extension. I think all of that would be very reasonable. Without boring you guys with the details.
Yeah, bore us. We're into it.
There are some things that you have to take into consideration because 2020 is the final year of the collective bargaining agreement. And so there are some things that you have to work around from structuring the deal.
That is
to make
juicy.
It work.
But, does that mean?
But it works.
Does that mean, though, that since – that just really, really made me think about something. Like a light bulb just went off here. So everything I've heard is that this deal isn't going as fast as some would expect. 2020 is the end of the CBA. Nobody knows what this thing's going to look like in 2021 because, and correct me when I'm wrong, that's when the broadcast rights come up again. So all the TV deals have to get hammered out again. Is it possible that one side or the other, it wants to wait and see what the new money looks like, and the Skins are more willing to go into 2020 on a franchise tag situation?
Yeah, I mean, particularly
if you're Brandon Scherf,
like, you know, 2021 with a new collective bargaining agreement, the salary cap might be $250 million or something crazy like that, right? With all the new revenue coming into the league. And so why would I take a deal today and preclude myself from taking advantage of a very lucrative and larger revenue pie?
That's a consideration. Dude, I hadn't thought about that. You are a former agent, and you've also been on the team side, analyzing the cap for the Skins. As the agent, what would you be saying there? Is there a dollar figure? If they offer to make you the highest paid guard now, which wouldn't really kick in until 2020, would you take that, or would you say, take the franchise tag, play on a 1 year, let's see what happens in 2021?
If you are basically having a negotiation with your client, you would say, you know, look, you're a former first round pick, so you've made a decent amount of money, you know, in your career thus far. It's not like you're a day three pick and you haven't really.
He's not waiting for that first pick.
Made a lot of money. So therefore, you have the financial wherewithal to not take the bird in hand today that may not be as lucrative as what is out there in 2021. So bet on yourself and play out the last year of your rookie deal. Force them to tag you in 2020 and then see what this new NFL salary cap world looks like in 2021. And if the kid is willing to kind of bet on themselves, then it could be very lucrative on the back end.
It's funny, I was going to ask you about what the timing might look like for a Brandon Scherf deal, but now that we've kind of opened this Pandora's box, do you think across the league we're going to see not a lot of extensions over the next year or two because of this big TV money deal that's going to be coming?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think any agent worth their salt has to take that into consideration, or they're doing their client a disservice because, again, come 2021, if there's a new CBA, the salary cap could be something ridiculous, and if there's more money out there that the clubs have, there's more money to be paid the players, and so they're more lucrative contracts.
Well, and like you said, that'll depend on the financial situation of the player, if they're first-round picks or if they've already gotten a deal.
Right.
You know, like a player, Matt Ioannidis is taking that deal no matter what because he's making $600,000 otherwise.
Exactly.
In the bigger picture here, is this the kind of thing that could impact how teams are going to spend at the same time? Because we heard it mostly with Russell Wilson as he's trying to work out his new deal, and maybe it gets tied to a percentage of the salary cap rather than a hard dollar amount. I don't know that that's actually allowed in the current CBA. Is something like that something you could see changing? And the Redskins are now back in the land of a rookie quarterback, and he's on a 5-year deal, but if you have a quarterback, I mean, hell, we're already talking about Mahomes' new deal, and he's only in year 3 of 5.
Yeah, let me step back to the percentage of the cap piece there. There is nothing explicit in the collective bargaining agreement that says you cannot do that.
Okay.
People have reported that the NFL Management Council would not approve a contract that has that language in it.
I am sure they would.
When RFA tenders, when the franchise tag are all calculated off of a percentage of the cap, it would seem a little incongruent that you could not then have a player compensated off of percentage of the cap. So I don't know that there's anything formally written that precludes it from happening. It's just that the league and teams don't want it to happen.
The league definitely doesn't want it to happen.
Definitely doesn't want that. When you look at the way that the Redskins structured the Landon Collins deal, is that in mind? Do you think the 2 years forward, that what that salary cap might look like, and that the money the Redskins have been known to kick the can down the road a little bit as they go?
The interesting thing about the Landon Collins deal is that they, and again, I'm not going to bore you with the nuances of the 30% rule, but they had to put an option bonus in Landon Collins' deal in the second year of the deal in order to make it work with the rules of the final league year. So gotcha. From a compensation value standpoint, I don't think the new revenue of our, of 2021 and beyond played a role, but the fact that we are getting close to the final year of the collective bargaining agreement and there's some things that you have to do mechanically to make the deal work definitely factored into how they structured the deal.
Yeah, another player who's always kind of up in the air with this contract situation is Josh Norman. We had you on a couple months ago after they signed Landon Collins, and I remember you said Josh Norman and Landon Collins' contracts can work for this year. Next year is where it gets tricky with Norman, and maybe it makes more sense to let him go. So could you just kind of re-explain that for new listeners who haven't heard why Norman can fit now, but then those two together next year in the secondary becomes an issue?
Yeah, the reason why they can both coexist from a salary cap management standpoint right now is because Landon Collins' 2019 cap number is so low. And it jumps up exponentially to probably $13 million. I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's a
Landon jump. Collins' number jumps up exponentially in 2020, and Josh Norman already has a large cap number in 2020. So it's hard to devote that amount of salary cap resources to your 2020 salary cap. And when you think about Josh Norman, you know, I know Fred Smoot has been very vocal about how much Josh is getting paid relative to his play on the field. You know, it's hard to justify paying him that amount of money in 2020. And there's no guaranteed money in the deal and when you can just let him go and move on, especially given Landon Collins' increased salary cap number in 2020.
Right, to that point, Collins, for the cap this year, is counting for $4 million. Next year, that jumps up to 14. Norman is counting 15 both years. I don't think they're going to pay $30 million between Landon Collins and Josh Norman next season. Yeah, Fred Smoot's comments actually came on this podcast last week, J.I., and I have heard – Fred was vocal about it. I've heard from a number of other players, though, that there's no way Norman plays out this season with the Redskins. I wonder if – if you had to go 0 to 100, what are the chances? We just did this. I don't know if you could hear us doing this earlier. What are the chances that Norman gets released? I mean, we know the post-June 1 designation is a very real thing in this league. What are the chances of Norman being the starting cornerback for the Redskins week one in Philadelphia?
I think they're, if you were to pin me on a percentage, I think it's 75%.
Woo-hoo! You know how good I feel when you and I say the same thing? I mean... Mitch said 90. Think,
yeah, go ahead.
No, Mitch said 90, which I thought was a little high. But 75 to me sounds right. You explain why you chose that.
I think that is there going to be someone willing to trade for that contract? Probably not.
Right.
Is there a off chance that, you know, what they see in the offseason program just doesn't jive with what they have to pay them and what they've got on the horizon? So that's why I say there's that 25% opportunity to move on from him. And you already mentioned the post-June 1 designation and how that can help them from a cap standpoint. So that's why I hold out that 25%. But I think that more often than not, if we were kind of running this scenario over and over again, Josh Norman is your week one starter at corner.
All right. J.I. Halsell, every time you're on here, you make us smarter. Today was like a PhD level course. We sincerely appreciate your time.
I think JP's going to come to your office hours, I think. He's so excited. He wants to learn more about this.
We cannot say goodbye to J.I. yet.
I'm about to. Just hold on. Hold your horses here, Mitchell.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
If there was ever a question, if you are the Arizona Bureau Chief, the door has been slammed closed. You have earned that title emeritus, sir, by wearing the cactus shirt right here on the Redskins Talk podcast show.
And what else is important about that look right now?
The button at the top.
Jesus. Go ahead. Button. It's a great look, J.I. I love it.
It looks good on him.
It looks good on me, too. Me too, buddy.
It works with my neck. It's true for one of us.
At SalaryCap101, everybody follow J.I. Halsell. Thank you so much for your time, man. And next time we're in Arizona, we'll actually get that dinner.
Let's do it, man.
Or next time you're back in D.C., I know you got to come back sometimes.
I'm back home next weekend, actually, so... Okay. Maybe next Friday. Let's get together.
Done deal. Boom. Done deal. We'll make that happen. I'll shoot you a text next week. Thank you again for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
Thank you.
Go sign up for his course, Salary Cap 101. It's
that
offered
dude
twice
is
a semester.
Smart. And the sheriff thing. Sorry,
I think
AJ.
Just inspired like 10 blogs for
that
you.
That kind of blew my mind. Because it's not something that we thought about.
Yeah.
Right?
It was. No. And
it wasn't on the radar.
You wonder. We may be getting way too ahead of this, right? And that's kind of, despite you thinking it's football time, it's May. It's time for these types of conversations.
It's football time.
It's always football time in your loins.
Time.
I think That's hella interesting. Whether or not there's any validity to it,
hella interesting.
It really is.
Let's also remember, guaranteed money today is better than potential money in the future.
If you're the team, you might want to get a deal done.
If you're Brandon, you might want to get the deal done too. It depends whether you want to bet on yourself, like you said.
I think he gets franchised next year.
But the betting on yourself requires you have to be healthy and up to par for the next two seasons. It's a long time.
We're talking about 15 million.
And that's two more years on his age for an NFL player playing a physical sport. I don't know. I get it. Betting on yourself is the fun, cool term. But it's a lot of risk. No, I don't. I like the conservative, whatever I have right now, just give it to me and I'll deal with the stuff in the future.
How are the finances?
Yeah, how they work at Pete?
If J.I. was looking at my finances, he would have a lot to say. It'd be a lot of rearranging and renegotiating and a lot of changes in my salary cap.
Are you still solvent?
Can you pay rent this week?
Yes. No, the rent is never going to be an issue. It's just whether I'm eating a lot or going out or paying for gas.
Is the rent never an issue because your parents will just pay for it?
No. I'm never going to stoop to that level. Hopefully.
You're not? Because you're upset that you just had to start paying your own Easy Pass.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if this continues for a while, I would have to ask, but I'm still pretty far away from that.
What are we eating for dinner now? No more tacos? Are we done with ramen?
A lot of chicken cutlets and PB&Js, and last night I made spaghetti with frozen vegetables, and yeah. I'm trying to eat at home a lot more.
All right. We have a very, very, we have two very special podcasts coming up. Very different. One of them is going to remain a surprise, but you'll see it next Thursday night.
Thursday-ish, Friday-ish, yeah.
Friday.
I think next Thursday night we'll release it. So put that on your calendar. It's a mystery podcast with a lot of meaning behind it.
Must listen.
Agreed. Prior to that, though, we've gotten some big guests. You know Matthew Berry from ESPN. I mean, that dude has blown up fantasy in the universe.
Yeah.
He's a huge Redskins fan.
The Godfather of fantasy football.
I like that. That's a good title. He's a huge Redskins fan. I caught up with him. He was just out at the NFLPA rookie premiere. So he got some really up-close access with a number of Redskins rookies. And we caught up with him. We're going to run the podcast later this week, so you got to make sure you listen to that. But let's run just a little snippet of Matthew Berry talking about his conversation with Dwayne Haskins.
He had a really nice deep ball at Ohio State. Any quarterback can bust, but from people that I trust, you know, internally at ESPN, we have a bunch of people that grind all the tape. In addition to Mel and Todd, we have a bunch of people behind the scenes that also grind all the tape, right? Matt Bowen is somebody, former Redskin, by the way. I have to tell you, like, they all, like, because I'm like, all right, I don't care about TV, just to me.
Right.
What am I getting? Haskins. All of them were very effusive, and I had a number of people that tell me best quarterback that was available in the draft. I had some people tell me that they thought Haskins was better than Murray. Wow. And I certainly think for the Redskins offense that they feel like Haskins is a better fit, certainly for what Gruden wants to do.
There you heard it. Dwayne Haskins was certainly impressive yesterday. We were texting about this last night. That Matthew Berry podcast will be out on Thursday, by the way. We were texting about this last night. Dwayne Haskins is listed 6'3", 230. Case Keenum is listed 6'1", 215.
Nope. No.
He's my size.
That's like saying me and Mitch are like similar size. They're just not.
Like, I'm not quite 6 foot, 5'11 and change.
Yeah. He's not 2 inches shorter than Dwayne Haskins. Nowhere on this planet is that true.
We have to make a point of getting a picture of those two next to one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
We definitely have some video of them throwing balls next to each other, and you can see the height difference hopefully coming up right here.
Let's see it. Come on now.
Come on.
This will make for great podcast later. Yeah.
But those are some high praise for Dwayne Haskins there.
Yeah, and it's super early on, but I don't know. Do you guys want to change? There we go. And, I mean, that's hard to judge, but one of them is significantly bigger.
Did Matthew Berry talk to you about fantasy implications of these guys?
I'll be honest. I didn't want to ask him about that.
Yeah.
Because he's given us his time to reflect on being a Skins fan.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about the receiving core and how there's a run first team, that kind of stuff. But, like, I don't want him to give away his work on our time.
I don't know how many people know that Matthew Berry is a Redskins fan. I think that'll be cool for them to learn.
Yeah, right. I know he and I have gotten to know each other a little bit. I met him at the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You always remember people that, like, do something cool for you. So he and I were sitting there having a beer, and he's like, "You want to meet Tim Tebow?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Come on." He's like, "Hey, Tim, this is JP." I was like, "What's up, dude?" It was a very cool, surreal, only at the Super Bowl moment. And I had clearly snuck into some room I wasn't supposed to be in.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it was late at night.
At least you didn't botch a name like you did with Ed Reed.
It was late at night.
How was Tim's handshake? Firm?
Looking into those eyes, though, it was...
Dreamy?
Yeah.
Was he wearing a shirt?
Have you ever heard Dave Chappelle talk about when he saw Prince?
I've never heard Dave Chappelle do anything, so.
Oh, my goodness gracious, Peter.
Is he on Miami Vice?
You don't know who Dave Chappelle is?
I know who he is.
You never watched Chappelle's show?
Nah.
Oh,
too old.
That's too old? You're an idiot.
I know I'm going to get in trouble for that. I just don't really care for it.
You don't know.
Pete automatically doesn't like what he doesn't know.
You just assume it's bad?
No, I know it's great. I just don't really feel compelled to go watch it at any point. Got a lot of good Netflix shows to get to.
What good Netflix shows? I'm telling you, Spell Show is probably the best comedy of the last 25 years.
Okay. I'd rather just rewatch
The Office.
Stress Relief Part 2 for the ninth time. Watch Dwight and Andy and Michael screw around to the office during
AJ,
the fire drill.
Can you get in his ear and tell me he's an idiot? At least you back me up. You're closest to his age.
Yep, he told me.
Thank you. We needed that.
All right, yesterday, for the record, I didn't actually want anybody to unfollow Pete.
My followers actually went up pretty big yesterday.
So. And everybody that tweeted at me, I was like, don't actually unfollow him.
And a lot of them refollowed
him. I favorited and retweeted all of them.
That unfollowed him?
Yeah.
Mitch was supporting it.
Mitch doesn't mess around.
I came into the office today. Mitch went to go talk to him. He goes, Pete, not now. And he just kicked me out of his desk. So
he's fighting with AJ.
To be fair, I said Peter, not right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's what it's like talking about.
That's serious.
That's scary.
When you get the R on the end, that's it. You don't want to be part
like
of that.
I didn't like that one bit.
We're having a moment.
Yeah, you all right, dude?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do we have left on the rundown, JP?
It's so comprehensive.
I know there's a lot.
He's right. We didn't get to all of them. You want to run Gruden on Geis? Run it right now.
Let's run Gruden on Geis.
I'm sure he's ready. They're queuing it up just a sec.
Play that dope music again.
Yeah.
I can't believe you haven't watched Chappelle and think it's not good. That's the best part.
It's just that you think it's not good and you've never seen it.
All right. This is Jay Gruden on Darius Geis.
Darius coming along very well. You know, we're just trying to make sure that leg, the quad and everything has full strength before we let him go. And that'll probably be another thing that you probably wait till training camp as well.
I'm glad we got that bite in.
You know what's interesting?
It's really enlightening.
Here's what's interesting is that yesterday you then see all these stories report Darius Geis back for training camp. Is it a report when the head coach says it?
No, not at all.
Jake, but as a person who writes things on the internet, I understand that there are more clicks out there when you say report Darius Geis back for training camp.
Report
if you say
or sources.
Jay Gruden says Darius Geis back for training camp.
Yeah, Gruden expects Geis to be ready. People just pass right by. If you get a report or a source in there, they're clicking and retweeting and sharing.
Report. Pete is scared of things he doesn't know.
Ooh.
I can confirm.
Sources have confirmed.
Yeah. Let's go. We got two confirmations.
Nice scoop there, Mitch.
Trying to.
Mitch is getting them scoops.
Scoops.
What are you guys doing for Memorial Day? I'm driving tonight to Myrtle Beach.
I'm actually in town. I typically go to the beach, and I just kind of didn't get anything together quickly. So there's always a last
minute
trip.
Tennis?
I might. Maybe I will.
We need video of Mitch playing tennis, clearly.
Do you want to play tennis on Memorial Day? Because I kind of am in the same boat.
Absolutely.
I didn't make plans.
I'm here Monday. I'll go play tennis.
Let's go play Monday.
Let's do a Monday Memorial Day. Let's make it an annual thing.
I'm all for it.
Tennis on committing Day.
We don't have to make it an annual thing, but right. I'm all for it.
One year trial basis. Is AJ our fourth? What are you doing Memorial Day, AJ?
He's playing with his dog.
You know what? You're not invited. You're not invited to the Redskins Talk Memorial Day.
There goes our
Memorial Day tennis classic.
Extravaganza.
It's a tennis invitational, and you ain't invited. Thank you very much.
I don't know what to say anymore. Our rundown's gone.
I know. The show's. We'll never make it.
But we got the dope music playing.
Yeah. big thanks to J.I. Howell. Listen to the Matthew Berry podcast later this week. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Oorsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oorsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oorsman story.
Oorsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oorsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oorsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.